As Dan noted, this is the point at which we are departing from your printed order of service. Worry not, we will lead you through it. The message for today is split into three pieces. I am doing the introduction, then Dan will do part two, and Reverend Shauna will do part three. Part one, introduction. Why are we here? What is the purpose of this Unitarian Universalist congregation? Reverend Shauna and I realized as we did our planning for this new church year that we haven't talked with you about this question for a while. The last time we considered our congregation's purpose in depth was about 7 years ago when we crafted our mission statement together. It's on the front of your order of service. We read the expanded version for the opening words. You have the concise version on your order of service. And now the congregation has chosen as two of its three strategic foci, family ministry and membership. The core issue for both is how do we engage people of all ages in a meaningful way? That is, why do people come here and why do they stay? Take a moment to think about that. How would you explain to a friend who's never been here, why might you choose to become a part of this community and what we do together? Life can be hard. Think of all the various stresses and strains that we juggle every day. The personal struggles, from minor frustrations and worries to deep distress and heart-wrenching grief. And then we hear about what's happening in the wider world. You know that feeling. You hear about something in the news and your heart just breaks. You carry it around with you, feeling all ill and anxious. What do we do here that can help with all that? Why are we here? 7 years ago, we wrote in our mission statement, we phrased it this way, we are here to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. It's twofold, transforming ourselves, transforming our world. The first part is self-transformation. Some of us think of this as spiritual practice. We do what we need to do to nurture our spirits, to help us find that calm center, that place where we feel grounded and at peace. And from that grounded center, our hearts open, and we find that we are better able to walk through our days as the loving people we long to be in our personal relationships and in the work we do to heal what is broken in our world. Reverend Shauna and I came up with a gesture that tries to encapsulate it. Why are we here? To nurture our spirits so that thus grounded, we are able to reach out to others with compassion on a personal level and on a global level. A couple of weeks ago in our service about mental illness and addiction, I spoke about the power of empathy. I feel like empathy is the key to doing our mission well in both arms of that compassionate action. As Unitarian Universalists, we have long cherished our first principle, respecting the inherent worth and dignity of every person. These days, we are working on learning to do that with greater depth, by practicing a particular kind of empathy that strives to see from the other person's point of view. We are learning to acknowledge that our way is not the only way. We are learning to not unwittingly impose our ways of being on other people. We are learning how being respectful of another's worth and dignity involves taking pains to learn about their experiences, their cultural norms. It involves openness and humility. We Unitarian Universalists are learning to practice this kind of empathy, this seeing through one another's eyes in our social justice work and in our interpersonal relationships. Next Sunday, September 16th, Reverend Shauna will talk about how this is important in our truth healing and reconciliation work that we are beginning to do as Unitarian Universalists. The following Sunday, September 23rd, our Director of Kids Programming, Aaron, and I will lead an intergenerational service that invites us to see through one another's eyes on an interpersonal level within our congregation. Why are we here? To nurture our spirits, so that thus grounded, we are able to reach out to others with compassion and empathy and respectful understanding of those who have experiences different from our own on a personal level and on a global level. Why are we here? Self-transformation, world transformation. In part two, Dan will speak to self-transformation. How does being a part of this UU community make a difference in his own life? And in part three, Reverend Shauna will speak to world transformation. How can being a part of this UU community make a difference in the world? What unique gifts do we as Unitarian Universalists have to offer the world in its brokenness? After the service, I look forward to hearing your own answers to that question of purpose. Why are we here?
Recalling the period of my life when I was going through divorce, I remember feeling at times a breath-stealing anxiety that was almost overwhelming. Maybe you've had an experience like this, when the ground upon which you stood, the life the way you knew it and expected it to be, was taken out from under your feet. Whether I wanted it to or not, my life was changing. Everything felt out of control. But what I could control was what action I could take to help myself. Feeling lost, I knew I needed connection and friendship. Seeking healing and spiritual growth through connection with others, I joined Evergreen UU Fellowship in Marysville, Washington, now almost 8 years ago, a lifetime ago. I started making connections wherever I could. Community dinners, men's group, discussion groups, coffee hour. I became connected through various circles to people who cared about me and who I would also come to care deeply about. I could breathe again. And then a miracle happened. I discovered that of the many things we had in common, my newfound life partner had followed a similar path, having discovered First Unitarian. So I landed here as a part of this loving community. Through more circles, a chalice circle, small group programs, Sunday and special event fellowship, and in service as a worship associate, I connected with you. I still remain closely tied to my Washington circles as I continue to grow my connections and circles here. Men's group work connects me to others outside this community. My own spiritual growth gives me more centeredness that follows me in my professional life and impacts my interactions and connections to others in those circles, in ever-expanding circles of connection, caring, and compassion. And here's what matters to me most about this community. To know that someone, maybe someone sitting here this morning, right now, could be feeling the same way that I did that lifetime ago when I began this journey. Maybe you too are seeking healing through connection with others. And as you do, you become a part of our circle, joined to other circles. I remain hopeful that our work together in this interconnected web of which we are all a part will radiate outward from this place, our circles inside and outside of this community, and together we, joined with thousands of compassionate circles everywhere, can indeed change the world.
My wife loves sports metaphors, so I'm going to say I'm the cleanup hitter. And I'm rapidly doing away with some of my text. But I'm going to begin with a reading that really caught my eye this summer, a little excerpt from an essay entitled "We Are Stories and Stardust" by Claire Mulvaney. Back in biology class, I learned about osmosis. The movement of liquid or gas from an area of high concentration to an area of low concentration through a semi-permanent membrane. The cell wall is not a fixed state, but a frontier or a passage between one state of being and another. Through the margin of the wall, the entire chemistry of the cell can be modified. No cell wall is fixed. Whizz deeper and we get to the subatomic level in any case, where we realize that we are all just bundles of bouncing energy and space with plenty of room to maneuver. Nothing. Not even something that appears solid is in a fixed or permanent state. Not even ourselves. And when we think of ourselves as immutable and irrefutable, we become locked in our own definition of ourselves, constricted somehow until the world we want to know is the world we already think we know. In other words, we become small. End quote. In many ways, in too many ways, we have become small. We have limited the range of our lives and connections. In part, this is because we live, I think, in short-sighted times. We have large-scale problems. Climate change and income inequality, and the list goes on and on and on, that play themselves out on a very human, almost intimate scale, starting with everyday decisions and relating to one person at a time. We live in a time that is full of blame and fear, the part that perhaps troubles me the most. Those people are the problem, we seem to say, about everything. Threats are everywhere. Nothing is meant to do me well. Everything is out to get me. Still, too often we find that the motivating factor comes down to what is best for me, right here, right now. And so, my friends, we need some vision, and we ain't getting it from a lot of the leaders in the world right now. Vision can lead us, but only if we are willing to look up and to look out and to be less small. And, of course, the focus here in a spiritual community, as I said to the kids this morning, is vision that is not just upward and outward looking, but also inward looking. Who am I? How did I get to be so trite and petty and bitter? Why am I so rude and mean and short-sighted? Where did these blinders come from, and how can I get rid of them? So what does it mean to be a people of vision? In many ways, we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us who had vision. In human history, and we in particular on the shoulders of Unitarians and Universalists in our history and herstory who have spoken out and who we haven't spoken to you all enough about. In fact, this summer, I kind of cowered in shame for the fact that we haven't told you half of their story, not even one iota of a few of the stories of our amazing forebears in this faith tradition. And this year, I have pledged that I will do better by them. This morning, I obviously don't have time to tell you about many of them. In fact, I was going to tell you two. I'm just going to tell you about one. But I think their stories need to be told. We didn't just make up Unitarian Universalism this morning. It came from somewhere. It came from someones who had lots of ideas and ideals and visions and worked really hard to bring this faith to fruition. And so this morning I'm just going to tell you about Lucy Stone. Lucy Stone, who's so inspiring to some of our millennial folks that they've started a collaborative house named after her in Boston. Lucy Stone was born in 1818, died in 1893. She was an orator, an abolitionist, a suffragist, an advocate, an organizer. In 1847, Lucy Stone became the first woman in Massachusetts to get a college degree. She kept her maiden name when that was unheard of. Who would do such a thing? And not only that, but when the women's rights movement only wanted to look at women's rights and didn't want to look at the abolition of slavery, she said, no. We've got to look up and out and know that all people need to be free. All people need to be equal. What I love about Lucy Stone, well, there are many things that I love about her, but as I was reading about her again this week, one of the things I loved most was what I read about what an amazing speaker she was. Apparently, I should want to be like Lucy Stone, because this is what I read about her speaking style. Stone immediately proved to be an effective speaker, reported to wield extraordinary persuasive power over her audiences. She was described as a little meek-looking Quakerish body with the sweetest, modest manners and yet as unshrinking and self-possessed as a loaded cannon. In addition to a storytelling ability that could move audiences to tears or laughter as she willed, was said to be an amazing voice. Someone commented about her voice, no more perfect instrument had ever been bestowed upon a speaker. Makes me wish there were audio recordings of Lucy Stone. I have thought of Lucy Stone a great deal recently, wondering what she would make of the Me Too movement and what she would think of the progress or lack thereof on women's rights and equality since her lifetime. She was, make no mistake about it, a person of vision who left her congregational background and became a Unitarian because she found us a more hospitable group. Friends, my spouse told you I was going to talk about how we change the world. And I want to say that what we've said this morning is that there's this individual change thing, and then there's this world change thing. And I want to tell you, I think they're one and the same. If we can't transform ourselves, what possible hope do we have of transforming our world? And if we can't work together as a community, then what possible hope could we have of working in broader coalition and solidarity with other people to make changes in the world? And I look at lives like Lucy Stone's and I say the only way that people make a difference is one life, one connection, one relationship, apparently one tear-making speech at a time. People change the world. Individual lives that decide not to be small, but to reach out. Individual lives that seem to say, we can do better. We can do more. We can love more broadly. Vision is seeing where we are in the line of history. Vision is seeing this moment in its fullness, seeing what is clearly and realistically, but also what is possible and what is not yet. Vision is not unlimited, but neither is it hemmed in. So I want to close my little omelette here this morning by inviting us to think about what it means to be a people of vision in Cascadia in 2018. Paul Bramadat reminds us whenever we look at his research that there are many people in this part of the world who think they have no use for church. And they certainly don't like the word church, so I would be throwing them off right there. It means that if we think we have something to offer, we're going to have to do a good job of talking about what that is. We're going to have to talk about our transformational journeys, as Dan did this morning. We're going to have to say that we are a community that invites people to know themselves deeply, to know their lives deeply, and to share their skills, their talents, and their caring, because our world needs us not to keep it to ourselves. That we are part of a community that knows that together we can make a difference in our world. That we can make it a more bearable place for those who struggle and suffer, a more hospitable place for all beings, and a more compassionate place for each and every one of us. And we know as a community that we can't do any of that alone. And we can't do that by offering one and only one path to truth or belief or conviction. Those of you who have come to my office know that there is a quotation on the wall from another one of those forebears in our history, William Ellery Channing, who wrote in a sermon in 1830 something that still speaks to me. In fact, I feel a bit like he's on my wall as a bit of conscience on my shoulder. He wrote these words in 1830. I am a living member of the great family of all souls, and I cannot improve or suffer myself without diffusing good or evil around me through an ever-enlarging sphere. I belong to this family. I am bound to it by vital bonds. I am always exerting an influence upon it. I can hardly perform an act that is confined in its consequences to myself. Others are affected by what I am and say and do, so that a single act of mine may spread and spread in widening circles through a nation or humanity. End quote. So, friends, if that is true, if there's hardly anything I can do in my life that does not diffuse good or evil around me in ever-enlarging spheres, then it matters what we do with our lives. And it matters that we as individuals try to create that visionary space that allows us to live love. So let us make our circles continue to expand. Let us know that our lives matter, and let us know that transformation is something for each and every one of us if we are ever to hope to change our world. Blessed be, and amen.